Good morning. Is it a beautiful day or what? The sun is shining brightly. This last year came up with a case of sun sensitivity. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of it, but I can get a sunburn in less than 2 minutes. A huge, very bad sunburn in less than 2 minutes. If I go out into the
open, I have to be covered anymore. I have to have a hat on.
I have to have glasses on. I can't even be in the sun anymore. I've got to be covered so that people can't. And I came up into your church this morning, and people were saying, "What is this?" And they were getting the guards out and trying to make sure that I wasn't going to be doing something here that shouldn't be done. I just wanted to give you a quick update on our ministry, but you know, our inmates are like that. They're covered all the time. They've got masks on. They're wearing masks. And I think the Lord is helping me see through that whole process of, you know, what it is to hide. You know, sometimes you feel like inmates are hiding from us, and God's here to open our lives to Him, man. And it's so simple to get stuck seeing life as we see with blinders on, yes or no? And so I came to give you a little update of the ministry here. We're going to take a long time with this, but I just wanted to ask you, first of all, I'll give you a quick update on where I've been the last couple weeks. Went out to Kansas City, Missouri. Got the call that we had some Bibles out there we could pick up. So we went over there to Kansas City, Missouri, and got 3,000 free Bibles for our ministry. I love that. I'm so excited about that. And I'm thankful for the Gideons that are here in this church. And I'm thankful for all the things that happen in and through the Gideons ministry around the world. Boy, do they take the Bibles around the world. But you know, the amazing thing about Bibles is you get a Bible into somebody's hands and it will change their life. I've seen it happen over and over again. Just going into, sometimes into segregation and walking door to door in segregation, I see the calendars that we give out in the jail posted on their wall with not just the days checked off, but the scripture verses, the things checked off to read every day. So I know they're reading. And I've seen it happen where you give out a calendar and you come back a little while later and they got questions. And people are ready. Sometimes it takes a little while. They're ready to open their heart to the Lord, and I'm so thankful for that. It's so simple. It's just yes or no. It's just faith, faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. But it's three steps of yes. I say yes. I keep saying yes. I say yes even when it hurts. They've got the opposite way. They do it this way. I don't know. I don't care. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. And they get stuck in no gear, yes or no. But when they open their heart to the truth of God's Word, their life starts changing and they go somewhere. Well, anyway, I was just going to open up for a few minutes to your questions because I think that's the best way to give you an update. What are you interested in? What do you want to know about our ministry? And I will go from your questions and I'll give you the update based on your questions. And I think we'll get a lot farther down the road than if I just try to get on my little track here and go somewhere. So what questions do you have about Light and Liberty Jail Ministry? Yes, ma'am. An average day for me is really amazing. You don't want the full detail. I'm a very detail-oriented person, so I could. That's what I was wondering. That's what I was wondering. What I do is when we go into the jail, each jail is different. Each place that we go is different. We go to different jails all over. I go to Sandoval County, Cibola County, Torrance County, and Guadalupe County, and just different jails, Sandoval County, different jails all over the place. And as we go in, it's going to be different in each place that we go because the requirements are different in each jail. For example, Sandoval County, if we go in there, we have to have, we go into one location, and they bring people to us. And they may bring us six people at a time, and then we will teach them. I usually take what's called Straight Street. We have this, that calendar I was talking about, has seven different chapters on it, and I give the inmates a choice of where they want to go in one of those chapters. I have a little menu that I give them, it has questions and, you know, the key question and a key verse for each one of those chapters, and I ask them which chapter they want to do today. right away they're interested because it's their Bible study now. It's not my thing I'm going in to do. It's theirs. So I ask them, and they start deciding where they want to go as one of these chapters. And it's beautiful. It's really interesting to see them get involved in the Bible study. But, you know, the amazing thing is it's not me that changes God's Word. It's not Steve Mora or Glenn Riddle or anybody else, me for sure, that makes a difference in this ministry. It's not our heart for God that's changed this ministry. It's His heart for us, yes or no. He sent His Son. I was thinking about what you guys were doing this morning with the songs. And how many times did we hear the verse already this morning, John 1:14? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. Same thing you find in Proverbs 3:3. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And, you know, it's kindness and truth. I just recently found out that Straight Street is double bound. It starts with kindness. It ends with kindness. But in the middle of that, oh, man, this was so incredible. Psalms 86 says, truth springs up from the earth. Righteousness looks down from heaven. Then you got the same two things right there, where you got righteousness looking up from the ground, and do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so over and over through the Bible, you're going to find all these different. I didn't even begin to start yet. See, I'm way off on a tangent now. What happens in my day, in a normal day? I have no idea. It's always different. It's always different. I can't answer the question. I don't have any idea what I do. An update on this ministry? I have no idea. But we just keep going into the jail and being there. The point is to take people from where they are to where He is. And how do we get them there? You start with where they are. And you take them from where they are right into His presence. And if we don't get them to the cross, they're not going to change. If we don't get them to the point... Oh, yes, sir.
No, please.
I thought you were raising your hand there.
No,
no, you're not interrupting me. You can't interrupt me. Go ahead. By the way, I'm glad you said that because there's one thing you find in a jail ministry. I don't care anybody that's ever going to get involved in jail ministry. It's interruptions. It's obstacles. And there's no way to get done. No, I'm glad you did that because there's no way to get done what you think God wants you to get done in a jail. What you got to do is instead open your heart to Him and use everything He sends you in a jail to help people grow to become what God wants them to be instead of getting stuck doing what they want to do. We can get so stuck in ministry trying to do our little thing, my little Pharisee thing. I'm a great Pharisee. that we get stuck going our own way, and man, we don't even know where we are anymore, you know. And God wants to take us from where we are to where He is. And He wants to get us there, and He does get us there, not because of what we do for Him, but only because of what He's done for us. Now your question.
I have a twofold question.
Sir.
How many hours a day do you spend when you do go to the jail for any particular day? Because I've known people that have been in the jail ministry the past, they go for an hour, and they're limited by facility out there on the West Side. Mm-hmm. Very prescribed time to get to go in.
Yep.
And it's regular.
Yep.
I mean, it's extremely regular.
Yep.
I only say so much. And now that the other churches have infiltrated the Christian ministry, it's even more limited. So how many hours do you get to spend in the day? And the people that are lifers, the ones that have no hope of giving out, Russell Farmer lets them out early, how is their disposition, knowing that they're locked up for the rest of their life, versus those who know they're going to be there for a short time?
Wow, that's a really both very good questions. First of all, the amount of time that I spend, that again depends on the jail. Like you say, some jails are very, very restrictive. When I was out at MDC, the jail you were talking about, I was in there anywhere from 40 to 60 hours a week as a chaplain. I was the head chaplain out there for many, many years. But then the Lord redirected me. And now all of a sudden, instead of going to the 99, I was going to the 1. And I was going to this jail and to that jail and to the other. I cannot tell you how many people I find in different jails all over the place that I've already known from this jail or that jail. And it's just amazing how you get to see the changes in life. I just saw a guy I hadn't seen since 2008 over at Las Lunas. in the prison down there. And that was just amazing to me to see how he's grown, to see how things have changed in his life. He kept calling my name, Steve, as soon as I came in, Steve. And he wouldn't let it go. And I said, well, I don't know who this guy is, and I'm not going over there until it's time. And so I just kept working with who I was working with. And eventually I got over to see him, and then I realized who he was. But it's amazing to see how things change as you just go in and people's lives change as you just go in and just talk to them. Now, as far as how much time I spend, for example, Sandoval that I was just talking about, we go in at 9 o'clock in the morning, and we have to be out of there usually by 1 o'clock. And sometimes we get to stay longer. I got in there one day and got all the way up to 7 o'clock at night, and they had no way to get me out of the jail. They'd already locked the front door, and I was stuck. I was locked in. And they had to find a way to get me out of the jail that night because they didn't even realize I was still there. But somebody was bringing me people, and I was just as long as I was there bringing me people, I was going to keep going. I can't tell you a particular how much time I spend in each jail because it varies. It's sometimes it's an hour, sometimes it's 6 hours, sometimes it's a full day, sometimes it's, we got a jail that we go to now once a month over Guadalupe County at Santa Rosa. And we get to go in there and talk to the county guy. Did you know there's a county jail in the Santa Rosa prison? This is crazy. I didn't know there was for the longest time. I didn't know there was a jail inside that prison. But there's only about 8 or 10 people in there usually. But now we've got a regular time to go in and we talk to those people, and then we go over to segregation. And while we're over there, and talk to some of the prisoners there as well. I don't have any way to tell you exactly to answer your question. I don't think But as far as the people that are there that are sometimes just getting out, and the other people that are in there for a long time, I'd much rather talk to the people that are in there for a long time because they know they need help. They know they got no way to go forward if somebody doesn't come in and help. Have I already taken too much time? Are we okay? I know I'm supposed to be within. Okay. All right. I'm watching now. I wasn't watching, but I'm watching now. You know, the amazing thing is, I don't care what it is that you think you're going to get accomplished in a jail, you're not going to get anything accomplished apart from him. There's nothing we can do. I can't take the first step. I used to think I was doing something for God, and now I realize that there's nothing. I'm poverty. You talk about poverty coming into his presence. There's nothing that we can do apart from him. We can't do a blessed thing. Yes? All the time. My worst case of opposition didn't come from a jail. My worst case of opposition came from a militant Islam. There's two different branches, you know, and some of them are more peaceful and some of them are very militant. And this guy would go in there, he would shout me down every time I would go in. And when I was going to see him in MDC, and he was going to shout me down anytime I was there. Until I finally just went over and talked to him and offered to get him a Quran, if that's what he wanted, if that's what he needed. I was going to do anything I could do to get in there and start talking to him, to get a basis to begin talking to him so I could take him from where he is to take him forward. And eventually we did get it all calmed down, and we were able to keep going with teaching in that area and so forth. But, you know, it's so simple to get stuck in life, yes or no. It's so easy to start saying no. I just don't know anymore. I don't know what to do. I don't know. And I don't even care anymore. And nobody's going to make me. And you get stuck in those three steps, and pretty soon you are so incarcerated you can't get free. And God wants to free each one of us to be all that He's created us to be. I say yes. I keep saying yes. I say yes even when it hurts. And we call it faith. We call it hope. We call it love. These three. But the greatest of these is... How'd you know that? You know, the amazing thing is, it's all God's word. It's not our word. It's not what we're going to do for God. It's what He's done for us. And how we're going to take people from where they are to where He is, we don't do that. He does. Our job is just to message the truth. Yes or not? Yes or no? Do not let kindness and truth leave you. First thing that leaves an inmate when they walk out of the jail is kindness and truth. They've had to be kind. They've been forced into a situation where they got to help each other. Because if they don't, they're not going to survive. And so as they're in there in the jail and they're helping each other, they're learning kindness. God's shown them kindness all over the place. And the next thing that walks out of their life after they walk out of the jail is the truth. There's this big old circular file on the way out of the jail where they used to throw our Bibles because they're done with them. They could keep them. They don't take them. They don't give them somebody else in the jail sometimes, but they take them with us like a talisman, like a good luck charm to get them out of the jail. And then when they get to the edge of the jail, then they throw that Bible in the trash and move on. And we would go and recover them from the trash can. I'm not saying everybody does that. There's some people that do, some people don't. But God is always in the process of taking people forward to be what He wants them to be in the middle of whatever we're doing. God has His own purpose, and He's got a plan. And it doesn't seem like your plan is going to work today. It doesn't seem like you're going to get the job done. You're not going to get anywhere, and things are not going. I either say, I don't know, I don't care, nobody's going to tell me what to do. Or I say, I know everything I want to know. Just go away. I see everything I want to see. Go away. I'm going to do what I want to do. Go away. And we get stuck on no gear on either side. But all it takes for us to open our heart to Him is just say yes. Thank you, Jesus, for giving your life for me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. If it wasn't for your life, I couldn't live. If it wasn't for what you've done for me, I couldn't go forward. And it's just that simple. One more question, and then it's all over. We've already had too much time here.
Mm-hmm. And do they work with you? Do they feel compelled to go back to give their testimony?
We have had people like that. We've had a lot of people like that. In fact, we had a whole bunch of people over at MDC before MDC started locking down and clamping down on some of the things that they would allow. We had a lot of different people working with us in different areas in the jail. People that had been in jail that came back and wanted to get involved again. I've seen that over and over again. I've seen people get out of jail, and one that was a sex offender that couldn't go anywhere, had nowhere to go anywhere, and found a place for him down in Texas, and he started tracking with the Lord. He even wrote a couple of our calendars for us, the yearly calendars that we use with the inmates, and I thought that was pretty amazing as well. So, yes, we have people that do work with us. Everybody? No. But is there some? Sure. Was that the last question? Oh, one more. Go ahead. There's always a need. If you have even a little bit of hope to tell somebody else about what Jesus has done for you and want to tell somebody else, it's so simple. You just walk into a jail. And how do you get into the jails? Their different jails are different. They each have their own rules and regulations. I can help you with that if you want help. Just come see me or call me or something. But we can get you into jail. That's not a problem. Is it hard? You don't want to go into jail. You know, I love to go into jail, and they tell me all the time, we want to get out of this place, and you want to get in? You know, the amazing thing is it's not hard to get into jail. If you've already experienced what God's done in your life and you want to grow in that, the easiest way is to tell somebody else, and the easiest way is to go into jail. You think it's hard. It's not hard. It's very simple. It's just yes. Keep saying yes to the Lord and let God change your life. Is that... Some jails, yes. Some jails, no. Some jails more. Some jails, not so much. Recently, this just brings to mind a crazy story. These Gideon Bibles that we take into the jail. Recently, we've been able to take Bibles into Guadalupe County all the time. But recently, they found money in our jail, in our Bibles. You know, a lot of people, these Bibles come from the hotels, and a lot of people would like to just help somebody in a hotel to know Jesus. So they will put a little money in the Bible and say, hey, you need help? Here, Jesus is helping you, or whatever. They'll write them a note. Well, we go through the Bibles and make sure that there's nothing like that in our Bibles. However, Somehow some of it got through, and somebody got that money in one of the prison over there in Guadalupe County, and now we can't take Bibles in there anymore because they found the contraband in there. It's so simple to get locked out in this ministry, but we keep just taking steps, and it goes back and forth. It's like the ebb and flow of the sea. And you're what you're trying to get accomplished, the waves of life come crashing over what you're getting accomplished, and it's gone, and then you start over. And some people see that as discouraging, but don't you know that as I get older and older, I'm losing more and more, and I don't even know, how am I going to get through this, or what do I have to do to get through what I'm facing? Life is a gift. Length of years is a gift. The Bible says it's a gift. What's the gift? We get to depend on Him more and more and more. Yes or no?
My folks at Christian Bookstore in California, we can send materials in on behalf of an individual outside prison.
Yes. Most of the places. Some places, it's all dependent on the individual jail and what they'll allow. But sometimes yes, sometimes no. Usually that's the rule. You cannot take things into a prisoner, but a bookstore could get it into them. So if you usually you can get something to an inmate that way, as long as you haven't touched it. You just go ahead and have the bookstore send it to them. That's workable. Did I answer your question? Yes. Bigger jails are going to have a person called a program manager, and the program manager is going to have somebody working for him called a chaplain. And so you're usually going to the chaplain of the jail and trying to see if you can get in through that person. That would be Chaplain Everett out here at MDC, for example, or different chaplains in different locations. You've got so many different ways to get in. Program manager is the big one in the bigger jails. Chaplain, if not, and if not that, the head of the jail. You just go talk to the jail and ask. But if you want to know how to get in the MDC, in the New Mexico area here, I can give you the lowdown on a particular jail that you're interested in going to, and figure out how to get you in. Well, that's an interesting question. Yes, there's for example, I'll go back to Sandoval County. There's four different groups that get to go into Sandoval County right now. We get to go in. We go in once a week, and they bring us people six at a time into that one room. Or the ladies have a group that goes in at the same time with us. That's one group. I consider them one group because we're both in the same ministry. And they go to one room and we go to another and they bring us people. The next day, the Jehovah's Witnesses have people to come in. And so they do that. And then on another day, they have the Gideons are able to go in there right now and still going in. And another day, they have the Catholics go in. So those are the four groups. 1, 2, 3, 4, and you're going to have different situation in different areas. Yes, we have all kinds of people that are going into the jail and teaching what they want to teach, but the Lord is in the middle of everything that's going on, and wow, you see what people are, you see people's lives change. You go into the jail once and you'll get hooked and you'll never leave that place. you'll be a life sentence, and I didn't mean to scare you or anything. Oh, I know this guy. Hey, I haven't seen you for a long time, Carl.
You changed a lot, too, Machado.
Yeah, haven't I?
Speak to your Saturday morning breakfast.
Yes, speak to him. We have a breakfast every we just had one yesterday, first Saturday of the month over at Paradise Hills United Methodist Church. They've opened their church up to us to go in there and have a breakfast. It's for volunteers. Anybody that wants to get involved with the ministry and wants to know more about how to do this, just call me up and say, hey, Steve, I'd like to be at the breakfast, and we'll be ready for you. But it's at Paradise Hills, first Saturday of the month, so just show up And what happens is that we have our volunteers get together and help each other, encourage one another to keep going in. It's not an easy ministry. It's not easy to do, get involved with this, and yet it's so simple. It is so easy. It's just yes. Just open your heart. You got a desire to tell somebody else about the Lord? Just come, join us. We need you. We can use all the help we can get, and you will see God change in your life. You will not be up. You will be amazed at what God will do as you just open your heart to Him.
Got a question for Steve. I love your enthusiasm. It's great to see you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank the Lord. That's not from me. Not by works of righteousness that we've done. It's by His mercy He saves us. And it's nothing to do with us. It's all to do with what He's done and what He is doing and what He continues to do. And do you know, I got to throw this in real quick, a peg driven in a firm place is going to give way. Look at that verse. Go look for it. Go look at that verse. A peg driven in a firm place is going to give way. I'm here to tell you who that peg is. It's Jesus, yes or no? It's like that's happening right now in our country, yes or no? People are saying no in droves. I don't know. I don't care. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Or they say, you can't. I know what I want to do. I see what I want to see. I'm going to do what I want to do. Go away. And we have people, Christianity is percolating out of our society like crazy right now. And the fruit of the Spirit is dying across our society right now. It's not dying. God's word is as strong as it's ever been, and all it takes is a decision. And when you make the decision to go into the jail and start helping other people to come to Christ, you're going to make a difference in this world. Life is going to change for them. They're going to go a different direction. And the sins that are, you cover over a multitude of sins, it says, yes or no, when you just get one person to turn and say yes, yes or no. Oh, somebody's hit. I'm taking way too much time, Pastor. Really? Sir? Yes, I sure could. A jail is a place where people go to get sentenced. They've been charged with a crime, and they go there. It can happen to you, it can happen to me, it can happen to anybody. I was on my way over to Cibola County one day, and on my way over to Cibola County, I was so tired that day. I got out of Cibola County, they were locked down, I got out, and I didn't get anything accomplished. I'm coming back, and did I tell you this story already? I fell asleep coming back on the highway at highway speed, going down the road at highway speed. I'm going down the road, and I woke up. I woke up and I'm going right down the middle of the center of the median, and I'm looking over and I'm looking beyond it. First of all, I'm not looking at anything. I'm just trying to get this car stopped. You know how you do with snow, but this was soft sand, and I'm trying to get the car stopped. And I get it stopped. And I look over to the right, and there's Sandoval County Jail running right beside me over there, just coming side by side with me. And not Sandoval. It was down south somewhere. He was way out of his jurisdiction, but it didn't matter. I knew I was going to get a ticket, and I didn't get a ticket. He looked at me. I looked at him. He looked at me with his eyes, "You okay?" And I gave him a thumbs up. I was already halfway under control by this time. And he's looking at me. He waves, and he takes off. I look behind, and way back on the interstate, it's a parking lot back there. And all these cars are stopped back there, and he must have stopped them and come forward to try to stop me to get from what I was getting involved with there. But I was asleep. I was gone. How in the world do you keep going in life? And I could have easily gone up over and be in jail today because I killed somebody going across the median because I went to sleep. Man, you don't even know. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You have no idea what God's going to do in your life today or tomorrow. But God is in the process of doing something in your life that you can't even imagine. Will you let God be God? Will you let Him do what He wants to do in your life? Open your heart to Him. Trust Him and let Him take you forward. Yes or no? Is this making sense? What?
I have a question.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir.
I have heard that Islam has had a growing influence
hugely,
in jails.
Hugely.
I was curious if you have observed that and if you could speak to what impact that has had on ministry.
The biggest impact I've seen in one jail would be Guadalupe County. They had a church over there called the Church of the Chapel of the Angels. And they had constant Christian services all the time. And then the Islam people came in, the Islam inmates came in, and they took it down. They can't even call it the Chapel of the Angels anymore. They had to take that down. They had to take all the crosses down they had in the chapel over there. The inmate population took over the chapel, and it became a Muslim chapel. And it became a place for them to spout their thing that they were doing. And I don't know how that would happen. I'm only there once a month, so the chaplain over there, she's a really nice lady, but she didn't know how to handle it, and didn't know what to do with it, and she let it go. And did it stay that way? No, we're still going in there. I'm still getting to go in there. It's not like we're locked out, but. You can have any number of things that can happen in a jail that will keep you from doing what God wants you to do in there. Yes or no? It's easy to get locked out. It's easy to get locked out of life and think, man, I can't keep going with this anymore. I don't even know why this sun sensitivity, why is this happening? Why is this? And we can get so frustrated with life that we say, no, I don't know. I don't care. Nobody's going to tell me what to do, and I get stuck. Or I just open my heart to Him and keep opening it to Him. Faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Yeah, we have impacts, yes. Obstacles, yes. There's constantly obstacles in the jail. You can't do this today. You can't do that today. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't go over here. You can't do there. Or this person's coming. Use everything that happens as you're ministering to inmates to just help them to see that, man, it's just life. It's just part of life. Just say yes. Just keep saying yes to God, and it'll resolve.
I think you never finished explaining how people in jail are more open than people in prison.
How people in jail are more open than... Oh, yes, we were talking about jail and prison and the difference. The difference between people in jail and the difference between people in prison. Jail is where they go to get sentenced. Prison is where they go after they've been sentenced. And people are way more... It seems like it's a lot easier to work sometimes with people in prison because you can work with them on a constant basis. In jail, they're only going to be there from 6 weeks to 3 months, sometimes even a couple days, and then they're gone. Whereas, so you don't, it's a constant turnover. It's a constant shuffling of people. They're gone. And it's a lot easier in prison, some people say. But to us, jail ministry is what we do. We're focused on the jail because that's where the people are making a decision as to what they're going to do, how they're going to get out of what they're facing right now. Once they are out of jail, they're on a track and they're back on their own train. And some people like working with that. That's fine. For me, I like to just be there where people are needing help the worst they can be and what can we do to help them just take another step. Just take a step. Just open their heart to Him. Did I answer it? No. I didn't answer any questions, have I? Okay. That's all right. We're way over time, and that's why He tries to give me a time limit, because otherwise I'm in trouble. Well, just pray. Thank you. Let's close in prayer. Lord, I want to thank You so much that we don't have to get stuck in life, being what we want to be, doing what we want to do, but we can open our heart to You constantly and let You be our all in all. Let You be our hope and our help and our strength. Father, apart from You, we could do nothing. Lord, I know that it's so easy in life to get stuck again and again and again in our own little thinking of what we got to get accomplished or what we got to do or how this is going to work or how that's going to work. And nothing's going to work. Apart from You, we could do nothing. But Lord, we could do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so today, Father, we open our heart to You and we say yes. Thank You, Jesus, for giving Your life for us. Thank You for dying in our place for our sins. Apart from You, we can do nothing. But in You, we can go the full distance. Thank You for the time today to talk about the jail ministry. And Father, I pray that many of these people might just continue to think about how they can help others around them to know the truth of Your word and how we can change this world, this crazy world that we're living in today. In Jesus' name, amen.